So we find ourselves here at this spot again in Exodus, where the unlikely hero, for those who were here last week, right? You heard about that, where the unlikely hero finds himself. He's in a crossroads here in this passage. God took him from where he was. He brought him to Egypt, and he prepared him for the mission. And I think that Joel shared with you last week a little bit about the signs that he provided so that he would know that God is with him. That it is not Moses only that is doing these. This is not him doing it by himself. And we see here that God is talking both to Moses and Aaron, the one that has the mouthpiece, right? You know, Abraham complained, just like I would. As a matter of fact, just like I did. I just thought, you see me struggling sometimes. You know, right, what I'm talking about? Sometimes the words just don't come out. And Moses had that clear, so he informed the Lord. Lord, you know that this is my situation. And he says, all right, dummy, relax. I got it down. And you will see my power. So he prepares not only God, but he also prepares the people for freedom. And the way that he prepares the people for freedom, it's in the middle of what's going to be a disaster. And of course, we've been talking about disasters for the last 2 weeks or more. We've had our share of disasters lately, all the way, you know, from Harvey to Irma and Jose trying to do their thing. I don't know if Jose has an accent on the E or not, but if he's Hispanic or Latino, maybe we'll need to talk Spanish to him, keep him away. But there's been all this rush of, you know, storms creating havoc. And I don't know if you're aware that the Virgin Islands and the smaller, the lesser islands, as they called, the lesser Antilles, the smaller Antilles, they just got devastated, right? I mean, this hurricane went right over them. Winds of 150 plus miles. And then we've heard of what is done here in the mainland, and we've also heard of earthquakes and other phenomena that has people questioning, what in the world is going on? Is this the end? Have you heard any of that? Right? Is this the end? Does this mean that we are just headed towards the end of all things here on earth? Is this a situation where God has decided that he's going to finish it all? Is this a result of our sin? You know, there's some out there that will always go to that, right? You got to pay. But of course, I think it warrants us to think about these. Are these signs of the end? And what I like to do is I like to superimpose that scenario of all these disasters with the story that we have. If we see the whole scenario of Egypt and what they're contemplating ahead of them, we find that this is the last of the plagues. So the people are already weary. The people are already had their share of disasters. And I'm talking about the Egyptian people. And now they have to contend with one more. And God is instructing Moses to do these signs that you all heard about. And last week, Joel shared a little bit of that with you. In today's section of the narrative, we find the conclusion of it all. The only difference is that with this last plague, we know that it's not the end of things, right? Although this is the last, and usually when we think of the last, we think of the end. Now here we see that the conclusion, instead of leading to the end, it leads to the beginning, right? You're with me. And I think this is interesting because the text is leading us to see this clearly. Sometimes what seems to be the end is only the beginning. Amen. Note that God even puts it on a new calendar, right? Remember the first verse we read? It says that he is establishing a new calendar for Israel. This will be the first month. So as we see that all this scenario with Pharaoh and the Egyptian people is coming and developing, and they are all suffering and going through a lot of things, they might have been thinking that this is the end for them, but God has a beginning in mind. And of course, does anybody here consider disasters a beginning? Whenever we're facing something like that, the first thing we're thinking of is all the loss. All that is happening to us at the moment and everything that is going around us and is going to affect us, but we're not necessarily putting our minds in what's coming. We don't think of it as the beginning of anything. It's the end. Lost cars, lost houses, lost everything. And here God just turns that idea upside down. And I would like for us to just see this. God's outlook in the middle of all this is positive. In the middle of all the mess, God's outlook is energizing. All the pain and what is inexplicable to us is still something that God is considering in their context. Now, there's been a lot of death in Egypt all to this point. And the people, no doubt, are looking at these scenarios, trying to explain what's going on. They're looking around and says, is this the end of everything for us? And although we're just exposed to the interactions that Pharaoh has with Moses and Aaron, and not necessarily to what the people of Egypt are experiencing, I wonder if they may be wondering what they have done to deserve that. And even maybe looking ahead to see what we can do to correct it. Instead of the beginning of something good, we may turn things into the beginning of blaming. Right? Isn't that our nature? Right? Oh, so and so didn't have things prepared. We turn to the government. We point fingers. We turn to our neighbors. Oh, they left that awning on and now it blew out and took away my tree. I mean, we are not necessarily looking at how things can be worked out, but we point to everything around us that we can blame things on. It's a time of questioning and looking for answers and maybe even to pointing fingers to the leaders of the nation or to themselves. And I think there's a term for that. It's called scapegoating, right? We're going to have somebody to blame, somebody that is going to pay the price during disasters. But let's not forget that God is seeing this whole scenario differently. He's seeing the scenario as the start. He's starting something. And you know very well that starting something is very difficult, right? No?
Yeah.
Ah, I remember when I went back to school, I tell you. Going back to school was very difficult, especially when you're going back to school with 18-year-olds and you're 40. It was very difficult. It's uncomfortable. It implies change, right? And a change of scenario and a change also of perspective. It's important that we realize that whenever we're starting something, it's like exercising. It requires keep your objective in mind, and it requires discipline. Now, this is what I can see that God is trying to show all the people. There's a new start going on, and of course, there's uncertainty. There is uncertainty of what is ahead of them. And all this leads to the barbecue. Right? Now, barbecue? Good. In my book, barbecue? Good, right? Right. I'm sorry, I just was tempted with that. But and I'll get to the exercise in a minute, but let's see the biggest section of this reading, which is the description of the meal that they're going to have and how God is instructing them and preparing them for what's going to happen. Again, there is a time marker. It says the 10th of the month. And then there's instructions of how to gather, how to choose a lamb, how to divide the lamb, and what to do with the blood, and how to eat the lamb. Not raw, not boiled, but roasted. It is stated that it is all must be eaten, everything. Maybe that's why I failed to leave any food in my plate.
Amen.
And you'll see the results of all that. You see, I think that the people might be tempted to take a leg or maybe a side with them because they don't know what's going on. All they know is that God is going to rescue them and he's going to take them out of that land, take them away from the bondage, but they don't know what's ahead. And God instructs them, do not lean on your own provision. Eat it all. And there may be something here about, again, seeing what God is trying to do with them. See how God is trying to provide for an uncertain future that requires the people to trust God. Now, in the middle of change, it's very hard to trust, right? In the middle of this a disaster, it's very hard to say everything's going to be okay. Because we see things around us and we know that it's not. We don't want to trust anybody. People get angry. They resolve to looting, to stealing, and whatever else can be done to hold on to survive. And God instead says, consume it all. Do not leave anything. Now verse 11 tells us about a different aspect of the preparation, about how they're going to eat. You see, when you're on the move, there is a sense of urgency that cannot be understated, right? There is a sense of this is happening and we better be ready. And for those who have been moving this year, there are several of us that have been moving this year to new places. This is very much impressed in y'all's minds, right? The mere idea of change can cause anxiety, can cause us to reflect on what's going on around us and imagine moving and change that leads to an unknown. There's all kinds of things that could be going on people's lives. They don't know about the promised land. All they know is the tales of their ancestors, right? Those who lived there approximately 400 years ago. Those forefathers that spoke about it. And in most of our cases, all that we know about the new place where we're going or where we're moving to is what we have heard from our friends. I remember when I moved to Colorado, all I knew about Denver was what you told me. When I got here, it was 4 degrees. And literally, right? Georgine remembers. Literally, they said, hey, it's never like that over here. The next 3 years were brutal. It's never that cold. You see, we don't always know what's coming, right? We don't always know what's coming when our lives are being undone and we're being led to something new and different. And whether it is a disaster, which is totally involuntary, or a voluntary move, there's always that feeling of fear. Fear of the unknown. So the point is that change, moving, all that elicits a stance that will propel us through it, right? It requires an attitude so that we can go through the experience and see what's on the other side. And that's why God says your loins girded, your sandals on your feet. I would have rather have work boots, but sandals is what they had. But he says, your staff on your hand, and you shall eat hurriedly. You shall eat hurriedly. Wow. Now, did you notice that sense of urgency? Did you notice that there's something that is happening that is require them not only to be prepared, but to be on their toes? That's the stance. Will it be memorable? I don't know about you, but I remember every move that I've made. Every single one. I still remember the box that contained the Volkswagen engine that I rebuilt and I was bringing from Puerto Rico to the United States to find a chassis and rebuild a car. And I carried that sucker for 16 years, never did anything with it. I mean, there's every move, everything that changes just marks your life. And I think that everything, every change in life, even when it's a bad memory, it just is going to linger in us. Now, I can tell you this, all these experiences of moving, of change, have helped me along the way. We learn something about ourselves and about what God is doing in us and the relationship that we have with God. And maybe this statement speaks to that. This shall be a day of remembrance for you. And guess what it says right after that? And you will celebrate it. And you will celebrate. Did you hear that? It'll be a day of remembrance for you, and you will celebrate it. I wonder if that's how we look at disasters in our lives. And perhaps that idea of disaster or difficulty or stress or turmoil can be reinterpreted to depict the beginning of something instead of the end. Now, remember what Jesus did for us when he died? That was not the end. As a matter of fact, I believe that that was the beginning. The best beginning ever that we can ever experience in our lives comes from a very tragic event. So maybe, you know, and this is the theological idea. Sometimes we think of Jesus' death as a sacrifice, right? Right? In no time in this story of Moses and what he's instructing them, does it say that those sheep that are going to die are sacrifices. Nowhere there. It's just saying that they are going to be killed. They're going to be food for them as they get ready for the rest of the story. And maybe in our minds, we can think of Jesus' death not necessarily as our sacrifice for our sin. Again, that's theology. We can discuss that. But maybe it is more of a giving of life. Food for us. Food for the journey, for the new engagement, and the spirit that is given to us so that we are prepared for the rest of the journey. Your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff on your hand, and you shall eat hurriedly. Let's pray. Lord, we've heard this story so many times. But as we look around us and we see what is going on around us and what we are experiencing, we can see sometimes that we are in the middle of storms. And whether that is a hurricane or something that is going on in our families, or a circumstance with work or other issues that are going on in our lives. we may be looking at it from the bottom of a pit and saying, this must be the end. Help us, Lord. Help us to change our outlook and our perspective. Help us to see things the way that you see them. Because maybe there is a beginning that we can get excited about. In Jesus we pray. Amen.